Mick, you're hopefully seated. Working today. Maybe, maybe not. All right, got one on. One thing going. Let's check the second, please. All right, we've got two places. Just got to figure out what the heck's happening with this third place.
The devil.
Now, I know it. He thinks he's funny, but I sure don't like him.
Password Facebook has been down all day.
Like the app Facebook?
Oh, yeah. Wonder if that's why. Can you figure out what's happening?
Could be. We couldn't get it this morning.
Well, that could be a very key thing. I really wish it would work for me. I keep putting on there that I'm trying to live stream, and then I don't get it, and I have a feeling people are like, this guy don't know what he's even doing. I promise him, I'm trying. Just one more thing. Can't figure it out in about 2 seconds. We're just not even done. That's right. Devil tries to play games with you, you play games back with the devil. We're going to use the webcam on my laptop. I can't figure out why it won't go live from my camera, but he didn't stop my laptop. So
you go, preacher.
I'm going. The devil ain't getting me today, and I'll tell you what. Now I just got to figure out what the heck I'm doing here. All right. Give me a second here. I feel like I'm looking like an old man. I just need like a pair of like those Coke bottle glasses so I can just like stare at it. And I think I'm live, so people are probably like watching like, what is this guy doing? Huh?
Too far. Jerry didn't tell me I could go too far. I mean, I get pulled, I'm going too far, but not on the stand usually. Hey, look at that. All right.
We're almost there, folks, I promise. Okay. Hopefully this is, it's not going to be the best quality, but I'm going to get on with the, well, I don't know. Maybe he's going to get the best because I'm still not able to figure out what the heck's happening here. Taken me far too long. Oh, hold on. We maybe no. Nope. I don't know what's happening. Okay, I'm not messing with Facebook anymore. They're annoying me. Okay. Anyways, my apologies if you're watching the live stream. You're probably like, why is he so close to the camera? Anyways, well, good morning, everyone. I apologize for the delay. I'm sorry. I don't know why our Facebook won't go live, but good morning, everybody. Well, I'm going to try and keep us going. So if you were with us last week, we began our study over who was at the cross and how it would have affected their lives. And so last week we spoke about the women. And so this week we're going to talk about the soldiers. And so we'll talk about the centurion himself, the man who would have commanded these soldiers. But this week we're just going to talk about the soldiers who were there. And so if you will, bow your heads with me for a quick word of prayer. Father God, as we begin now, would you just bring us to a sense of calmness? Would you focus us in on your word? Would you help us learn from you? Would you help us hear from you, Father? Would you draw us to your heart, draw us to your words? Help us live by what your words say. Would you help us apply them to our lives? And Father, most of all, would you help us speak the words that you put in our lives to others, that they may come to know you? Father God, we ask that you would just help us to have a heart to share you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so
I'm going to ask that you turn to Luke chapter 23 and just verses 36 and 37. Luke 23, verses 36 and 37. And so, they're a rather short passage, again, like last week. You know, we don't see it being very long, but there's a lot packed into right there that we can pull from there. So, let me also get turned there. And so, Luke chapter 23. Verses 36 and 37 says this to us. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." All right. What can we get from that? The soldiers also save yourself. I apply that to my life, how can I learn from that? Most of all, get from that that can change my faith, that can deepen my faith, that I can tell others. Do I go and offer other people that I should be sharing? No, it's deeper. You gotta look in the lines here to see what we're needing to get. And so, impact of what they witnessed. So these soldiers, well, they were hardened by their duties. You see, they were just mere instruments. They were witnesses. You see, they were witnesses to the most significant event in human history to ever take place. And these soldiers witnessed. And so, like I said, these soldiers, it was their duty. It was likely that these soldiers had done many crucifixions before. This could have been the first one or first couple they had done. But it was likely that this probably wasn't their first. This was probably upwards of 30 or 40 that they had performed. You see, the Roman Empire, they reserved crucifixion for the worst of the worst criminals. But even though it was for the worst of the worst criminals, they used crucifixion as a sign to outsiders. And so when they crucified someone, when they finally caught a criminal bad enough, they didn't just crucify you in a secluded place. They didn't crucify you, you know, behind a building and, you know, wall you in and so that no one could see you. They put you in a place where a lot of people would pass by. So imagine, if you will, today, in today's time, it would be as if somebody here were to have committed a crime bad enough, they would put the crosses out right out here on 59 Highway. That's what they did. Because they wanted people to not only see you, then they would put a sign up saying, "This is what they did." And so they would say, "Look at this person. Look at what they did. Be warned." How many of you have ever gotten a warning from your parents? Get that good old warning in. Now, usually, it's enough to stop us, right? Usually, we don't even have to get the words of, "I'm warning you," because I don't know about you guys. I won't speak for anyone, but if I got the words, "I'm warning you," it was already over. I had already messed up. If I heard my mom say, "I'm warning you," well, it wasn't a warning. I was already in trouble. Now, if I was able to smarten up and pay attention, and I looked over and I saw my mom giving me the look. Now, I know everybody here, it's all in the eyes. If I was able to be smart about it, and I looked over and I could catch the look, and I smarted up,
Well, then I might have a chance that day to be able to sit down comfortably when I got home. But you see, the Roman Empire, this was their warning. They said, "We are warning you. Do not do what these people done, or else you're going to end up like this." And then they left him there. They didn't, this wasn't like a, all right, we're going to leave him here for a day. No, they left him there. They let the birds pick him clean. And then they might clean him up if they got time. If not, well, so be it. It'll just stay there. Pretty gruesome. But you see, they were desensitized to this. It was their profession. They were trained to carry out the orders without question. And so they were trained to mock these people because they were criminals. And so offering Jesus sour wine and mocking him, part of the job. It's what they did. And so they added to the suffering, into the violence against Jesus. But this one was different. You see, this one was different because they were unaware of the divine significance that was taking place that day. So it leads me to question you here today, and you guys watching today. How often do we become desensitized to the suffering around us? Let me ask you this. How many of you can drive down 6th Street without batting an eye? I know y'all are, you know exactly what I'm talking about down 6th Street. Imperial Gas Station, across the street, and down about 2 buildings. Yeah. Pretty easy to forget what's there when we don't think about it, isn't it? Pass by about 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. See how many people are covered up there, laying on the sidewalks. Pretty rough. I've done it. And I was just woken up to it probably 4 days ago, not even realizing it. And I drove by, and I was like, wow, that is a lot of people. And instead of getting angry about it, instead of saying, why don't they get off the streets? First thing I wanted to say was, God, would you help those people? I don't know if they're choosing to be like that. Man, God, if they're choosing to be like that, God, help them. But God, if they can't help themselves, God, would you help them? You see, we can't become desensitized to the suffering around us, because if you become desensitized to the suffering around us, you're losing the love that Jesus Christ had for you. You see, price of salvation. Now, Jesus paid a price for it. But you and I, how many of you were charged for price of salvation? Anyone here receive a bill yet? I haven't. Anyone get a notice of invoice or anything from heaven that's coming down, that we got an invoice coming ahead that says this is how much we owe for salvation? So then why do we charge people for themselves up? Why do we make people change themselves just to receive what we receive for free? Why do people have to change for what we got for free? We didn't have to change a thing about ourselves, and yet here we are judging people. Here we are having to change ourselves to get the same thing. We've lost something, folks. And it's one of the greatest commandments in the Bible. To love others just as I have loved you. You've lost the love of Jesus Christ when you start charging others. You can't charge others. because you weren't charged. So unless, for some weird reason, you think you can repay what happened charging for what happened on that cross to other people, so as these soldiers are there that day, they don't know. But I believe that they did have a moment of realization. And you know, one of the things that we say that it's never too late to become a Christian. And you're right. To a point. It's never too late until it's too late. That point of being a Christian is when you're dead. That's when it's too late to become a Christian, is when you're dead. That's all there is to it. At any point up until then. Now, I'm not saying that you should wait, but it's never too late until it's too late. And so, but unfortunately for these soldiers, I think that they waited just a little too long to realize. All of a sudden, some real extraordinary events started unfolding right before their eyes. Something that you and I have never seen. You see, while they were ripping Jesus' beard out, while they were punching him, while they were slapping him across the face, while they were spitting on him, because mind you, we see pictures and we see that it puts Jesus way, way up in the air. It's way too high. He's down here. You could reach up. You might have to step up to your tippy toes a little bit. Could have reached up and pulled pieces of his hair and his beard out of his face. If you were tall enough, you could have punched him right in his face if you wanted to. See, so while they're there doing all this to him, some things begin to happen. The earth violently begins to shake. And the land becomes dark. Not like the lights have just went out in this building dark, but like it's darker than night. And so there's an earthquake, it's dark, and then they hear a call from the temple that, hey guys, the curtain to the Holy of Holies was just ripped in two from top to bottom. What? So there's an earthquake, it's dark out now, and the curtain was just ripped in two. I would have turned around and said, I've made a mistake. I have made a mistake right here, right now. And I would have been on my knees and saying, God, I didn't know before now, I didn't believe before now, but God, would you please forgive me now? I am so sorry. That was God telling me the best. I'm doing the best I can. I don't know whose phone that was. But Matthew 27:54, we read, when the centurion and those who were with him guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified. And they exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. And we'll hear that again next week. They exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. You see, they realized it after. That would have been rough. They had been to grasp its significance. So let me ask you guys, how often do you miss the divine moments in your life until it's too late? You guys miss the divine moments in your life until it's too late? How many times, let me put it into an easier perspective instead of asking about divine moments, how many times have you found yourself saying, man, I wish I could have known it was the good old days before I said it was the good old days? Those are the divine moments. You see, you're looking back and you're saying, those were the divine moments. I wish I could have known they were the divine moments before they were gone. Wake up. Stop and smell the roses. Wake up and smell the coffee, however you want to put it. Slow down. So then there was a transformation of their hearts. You see, the soldiers experienced the crucifixion while they had potential to transform their hearts, and I believe that it did. And, you know, maybe this is me pulling too much from the text. Maybe I'm wrong. And Lord, I apologize if I am wrong about this, but they were witnesses to grace in action. And so Jesus forgave those who crucified him. And I know that Jesus did, and so I firmly believe that Jesus Christ even forgave those soldiers there that day. I firmly believe it. So even though those soldiers who had done all that to him, as long as they said that they were asking for his forgiveness, I believe that they were forgiven as well. See, what they saw was an act of love that changed their lives forever. In John 19:34, we see a soldier, and he pierces Jesus' side. We see that it says that blood and water flows out. It's kind of weird, blood and water. Well, this act is real, and this act, it doesn't just symbolize physical death, but for spiritual sense, it is the outpouring of grace and mercy upon us as sinners. So the soldiers, they had a choice. When they saw this, do they remain indifferent, desensitized, and uncaring? Do they embrace the truth of what they had just seen? So you're faced here today, right now, at this point. Do you allow your encounters with Christ to transform you? You know, I was looking at something. How many of you are familiar when the disciples are in the boat on the Sea of Galilee and there's a storm and Peter asks, and they walk on the water, right? And Jesus tells Peter to come out on the water. It's not how it happens. Did you guys realize that? I went back and read it. I had thought, and I saw about this as well, I had thought that Jesus tells Peter to step out onto the water. Peter asks if he can. Well, Peter's actually thinking. But so Peter steps over the side. And then when Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus Christ and begins to look down at his feet, that's when he sinks in the water. It's the same for you and I's life. How many times in our life do we ask God for something, but then when we start looking down at what we got, that's when we start losing it. You see, it's because we take our eyes off the Creator and put it on what's created. If we don't pay attention to the Creator, we're going to sink into the creation. But if we focus on that, we're always going to keep walking straight. So keep your eyes on the Creator. So as you reflect on the soldiers at the crucifixion, remember, they weren't just passive observers. They were witnesses and participants in a profound truth that day. So as I begin to wrap up, I have Lori come forward. They took a journey from mockery to realization. I want you that to serve as a reminder for you all. You may not be soldiers at the crucifixion, but I can guarantee each and every one of you here today, each and every one of you watching today, you guys are witnesses of God's work in your lives. So don't become desensitized to it. Don't let it become something that you're just it happens all the time. It may happen all the time, but speak about what God does. Sing about His praises. Did you take another breath? Praise God you took another breath. Amazing. That's amazing that you took another breath. Did you make it another day? Praise God you made it another day. What if you didn't? Desensitized to us because we are not promised tomorrow, folks. You're not even promised the next minute. So I pray that as you leave this place today, you guys are entering the mission field. Carry the words of God. Speak love and speak life. Sing the praises of God. Don't be desensitized to His presence. Open your eyes and see Jesus Christ in every moment that you live. I'm going to be down here at the front. If you feel that you've ever taken advantage, you need to come down. I promise you it's okay because I've done it too. I'm your pastor. I'll be the first to admit. I'm chief among sinners. I've done it. This place down here, it's not just a fancy little table where we put the Lord's Supper every once a quarter. This is a place to get rid of those sins. Jesus Christ has already forgotten. But He wants you to let go of those shackles. So come break the shackles. Walk free. Look for His presence.
If you haven't made a decision for Jesus Christ, you have to decide. You are not promised tomorrow. I will do it tomorrow. You are not promised that. And there are so many people that just go, I thought I had time. You can't think you've got the time. So our invitation to Him is, I have decided to follow Jesus. Page 191, if you would please stand.
Get lonely on this walk. And that means that people might abandon you. You see, because this whole faith thing, this whole religion thing, whatever the world is going to label it, it's not common. And it's not fully accepted. Because what we speak and what we carry, well, it doesn't follow what the world likes. But it says, though none go with me, I still will follow. So I want to encourage you that even if you're walking alone, you're not walking alone.
Amen.
Think of the poem, Footprints in the Sand. We're told that we're never going to walk alone, and so you look back and you say, but God, there's one set of footprints in the sand. You left me. No, my child, that one set of footprints in the sand isn't where I left you. It's where you couldn't walk, and so I picked you up. And I brought you to this place. So if you can't walk today, if you can't even make it another inch, talk to God and say, God, I can't do it no more. Can you carry me? And I can promise you, God's going to carry you.